Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
The next stop on our tour is the Marble Faun. This is the very first bar that I ever worked at. Do you know that I was 17 years old?
So you were underage.
Well, technically, but it was the 80s, wartime. All hands on deck.
Were you a good bartender?
I was the worst. Yet at the end of the night, I took home more tips than a moil.
That's Scott Thompson as one of his iconic characters, Buddy Cole, from the Amazon Prime revival of The Kids in the Hall. That's right, one of Canada's best comedy exports is back in business, baby. And they're as smart, innovative, and good-looking in dresses as they've ever been. Their original series ran on CBC and HBO from 1989 to 1995. And almost 30 years later, they're as fresh and funny as ever. We were fortunate enough to have two of my fellow comedians, Scott Thompson and Dave Foley, stop by to talk about life as a kid in the hall. As you may or may not know, Scott was the last person to join the troupe, and he has no trouble remembering the first time he saw them perform at the Poor Alex Theatre in Toronto in the fall of 1983.
My friend Darlene Harrison, she took me to a midnight show of The Kids in the Hall, and there were donuts taped under the seat. Yeah, and during the show, about halfway in there, first of all, the moment they started performing, I fell madly in love, like instantly.
Why? What was it about them?
I don't know. Well, okay, some of it was I thought they were quite cute.
Oh, yeah, and, they are, and yourself included.
I think you can't really.
You're all very
thank
cute.
You. I don't think you can take that away from us. We were hot.
Good-looking guys.
And I remember very clearly Frank Van Keeken, who was a kid in the hall at the time, he did a monologue stark naked. And that might have been part of it. Ironic is that he quit when I joined.
Yeah.
So he did a nude monologue. They played women. They were out there. And I'd been drifting around. I went to acting school. I wanted to be a serious actor. Then I was trying to do stand-up, but I found the atmosphere so homophobic, I couldn't deal with it. And then the moment I saw The Kids in the Hall, I went, that's what I'm supposed to do. Mm. And I remember saying to Darlene, oh, I'm going to be in that group. And she was like, but you don't even know them. And I'm like, well, and this is how arrogant I was. I went, well, they need me.
Yeah.
And so I took the donuts and I started throwing it at them in the middle of their show. And I ruined their show. I was so adamant that they noticed me. And I just thought, these are punks. They'll like it if I trash their show. And they did. They did. I took a calculated risk, and it worked. I think most people, 99.9% of performers, would not like someone throwing them donuts from the audience, especially donuts that were part of a bit that ruined their show. But these guys liked it.
Yeah.
Or at least Bruce did. Bruce did.
So it shows that it was meant to be.
I swear to you, is honestly like God said, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And you were the fifth kid in the hall. And you were kind of an outsider because Dave Foley and Kevin MacDonald met in Toronto.
Yes.
And Mark McKinney and Bruce McCullough met in Toronto.
They were two teams, and I'm the bridge.
Yeah, and they joined forces.
I'm the bridge between those
guys. Yeah. So did you feel kind of uncomfortable? Did you feel like a fifth wheel when you first joined?
Oh, very much. It took me a long, long time to feel that I wasn't.
Well, I'm curious what it was like for you in the writer's room because, your background was in acting.
Right.
Was it hard for you to get involved in writing
sketches? Yes, I didn't have a clue what to do. Honestly, no idea. I had no idea how to write sketches or monologues or anything. I had no idea how to write a joke, nothing.
Yeah.
All I knew was I had to be heard. That was it. I had to be heard, and I didn't care how varnished I was or how raw, I just had to be heard. And then through them, all the years with them, I learned. We taught each other. Like, I learned how to write. I learned how to craft a joke. I also learned how to subsume my personality to the group. And that's very important. Like, I was always a shiner. And I really wasn't a good listener, and I wasn't a good team player. But the troupe broke me down. Mm. And until by the end of it, I became a real team. You have to be. And that's the thing about a troupe dynamic. And maybe there are troupes where there's one person that's the star or that sort of thing, but not with us. We were very adamant, and that might be a Canadian thing, but there was not going to be a star, that the group was the star.
Yeah. Yeah. And that played out that way. In his memoir, Bruce McCullough says that you were a big influence on the way the kids played women. Can you talk about that, how you influenced
I think, the... Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to use that. I hate that term, gender fluid. But I've never really... I mean, yeah, I see a difference. I know there's a difference. There's a huge difference between men and women. But mm-hmm. For me, there was never any question like, will I play a female character? Will I play a male character? They always seemed the same to me. Like, oh, it's just a character. You know, and I think that's quite off. That's a real gay tradition, too, for gay men, funny gay men to play women. Yeah. Although we did not borrow from the gay drag. Our drag is not gay drag.
So, Kath, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? What am I doing? Well, I don't have anything planned as such.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Kath?
Well, I'm going to go to one of those popular movies with Jill, Betty, and Beth.
Oh,
then
yeah.
Afterwards, go three ways on a large pizza.
Uh-huh.
And maybe watch a couple of hours of TV.
Oh, great.
You want to come?
Oh, no. I've seen everything.
Yeah. Kath, I really wish we did more, you know?
Yep.
Used our free time better, planned more things to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like our lives are passing us by and we're not even in them.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so do you want to come?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm in my own groove.
All right.
You know? Okay. Well, whatever you do, have a good weekend.
And maybe part of one of your greatest contributions, let me run this by you, I think maybe is your acting chops that you helped, because the kids, not only were you such great writers, you were like, oh, just the best, my favorite of all sketch comedy troupes in terms of creating and inhabiting these characters.
Yeah, I think because it's Mark that spearheaded bringing me in. Mark really was the one that he had to force them to let me in. Mm. And I think that's because Mark sees himself as an actor and he saw me as an actor and he wanted... He wanted the group to be more, to treat acting seriously, because the other three were quite prejudiced against actors. And I think they looked down upon me at the beginning, more for being an actor than for being gay. Mm. They thought acting was like, stupid. But, you know, it's my favorite thing. Disappear into a character is my favorite thing on earth, especially a character that you created or co-created.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's greater. Yeah. And I think, so maybe it's the acting. Like, I mean, like, I consider Mark the greatest, I wouldn't say the best actor in the group, but he's the most gifted in terms of just being able to do, like, a voice or an accent or a tone. I'm a much slower build, and I learn much slower than Mark does. I think my characters have depth. But Mark's characters are literally, he can just pull characters out of the ether that he has no relationship to.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to play a white Jamaican. Oh, I'm going to play an Australian woman. I can't do that. I have to have been having sex with that Australian for years, or I have to have had my heart broken by someone, you know, before I do it. I think, like, for example, Mark's characters are, they're like, he's just so gifted. He's just such a great mimic, and he can do anything. And yet Mark disappears. Like, he literally disappears. And I think with my characters, I don't disappear as much. I think you can always see me, which is okay. Yeah. Because I think my characters are all parts of me.
That's Scott Thompson, the fifth and final member of the Canadian comedy troupe, The Kids in the Hall. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the kids are having a moment right now. Actually, it's more than one moment. It's 8 new episodes of groundbreaking, smart, and hilarious humor, like this.
Good morning, that was Melanie and Brand New Key, and this is your friendly neighborhood DJ, Mike Motormouth Mulcahy, on KROC, the Crocodile, rolling out the rock to whoever's left in whatever's left of the greater metropolitan area. The weather today is mostly lethal, so stay indoors. And by indoors, we mean underground in a secure bunker or an abandoned mine. Well, enough chitter-chatter, let's get at her. This is Motormouth in the Morning. Ready or not, here I rock.
Dave Foley is another kid in the hall. You also may remember him from the NBC hitcom News Radio. He took some time out of his busy schedule to tell us what it was like to get the troupe and their comedy paper back together again.
It was a mix of absolute joy in terms of just making each other laugh uncontrollably and hard the laughter I experience when I'm with the kids in the hall is more intense than I think any other time in my life. And so it was a mix of that and the mix of just how awful we can be to each other at the same time. We've never allowed any time for feelings in our process, as we say in Canada. It was less emotionally violent than the old days.
Well, that's good to hear. What can you tell us about the new Kids in the Hall series?
If you were a fan of the old show, which one of the nice things about being in a group is that I can even be a fan of the old show because there's four other guys responsible for it, then I think you'll like it. It's very much, I think, true to the nature and spirit of the original. It's hard to describe because all we ever tried to do is make the other four guys laugh. And as an extension of that, it seems to make other people laugh. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the model that we're still following.
Pardon me?
Yes, my drop average is the lowest in the city. And I don't mean to toot my own horn, but it is third lowest in North America.
Well, that's great, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, what my wife is trying to get at, and excuse our ignorance, doctor, but what exactly is drop average?
Oh, well, a drop average is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It is the average amount of times during the delivery of a newborn that there is droppage.
You drop babies?
Does a bear in the woods? Or a more apt question would be, does a doctor drop a newborn baby in the delivery room? And the answers are yes and yes.
You've said that the new series will have a very low quotient of nostalgia, but am I right to think that this low quotient of nostalgia could include the return of Dean Dean and Lex Hare?
So, did you bring my videos?
Slipped my mind.
Should I even ask about The Godfather?
Don't bother.
Man, this is starting to cost me money, you know? I mean, sure, the video store is going to be on my ass, and rightly so, because when you rent a video, you enter into a sacred trust.
I'll tell you what. Let's have dinner tonight. Pesto's at 8. I'll bring the video. I'll bring The Godfather. You know the Paul Simon album you've been wanting me to tape?
Yes.
I'll tape it and bring that, too. And dinner's on me.
You don't have to bother with all that. Just bring me the video.
No, I want to. I'm just sick about the whole thing.
Okay. Pesto's at 8.
Will do.
I love those characters.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But we didn't come up with anything new for those. I think we started trying to write one at one point, but we weren't that happy with it. Part of never writing to any kind of a mandate, even our hit characters, really, we did very few of any of them. We didn't repeat a lot of our hit characters. I think there was probably like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 Simon and Hecubuses over a 5-year mm-hmm. span. You know, another show might have done 5 or 6 in a season.
Good evening, Hecubus. Are you ready?
I am ready to serve you, Master. And Satan.
Good. Then let the proof of evil begin.
Yeah, there's only a handful of head crushers, really, if you count them.
Hey! Old lady! I'm crushing your head!
I beg your pardon.
I'm just crushing the heads that need to get crushed, like yours, madam.
My head is perfectly fine, thank you.
No, it's not. It's shaped like an acorn. Can I flatten it for you? Wish, wish, wish.
No.
Oh, yeah, certain shows, live shows might have done 5 or 6 in a season and actually turned them into films as well.
Yeah.
In their book, Mondo Canuck, our fellow Canadians, Jeff Pevere and Greg Diamond wrote, quote, that so many people didn't get what the kids were doing simply confirms the troupe's validity as something legitimately innovative and subversive, unquote. What do you think of this idea?
That's nice. It was unintentional. When we first got our TV show, we thought we'd be a breakout hit. We thought the masses would swarm to us because we were young and arrogant. It took us time to realize that what we were doing was different. You know, we were really just, you know, in our club shows, just, again, just trying to make each other laugh. And as a result, that it became a cult thing in Toronto, where we suddenly had this huge audience in Toronto just from these nightclub shows. We never thought we were being subversive or edgy or anything like that. We just thought we were funny. You know, we thought we were the funniest thing in the world.
You were right to think that, but I'm surprised you didn't realize, though, you knew you were funny, but you didn't think you were being subversive?
Well, we didn't. It wasn't subversive to us. It was just telling the jokes that were funny to us. It was just doing comedy that wasn't boring to us. Mm. That was in the zeitgeist of that time, you know, of the early and mid 80s. There was that sort of punk mentality of just whatever you do, just don't be boring. You know, mm-hmm. just don't do with the same crap that everyone else has been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You've accomplished so much already. I'm curious about whether there's anything that you haven't done yet that you're still yearning to do. Maybe a memoir, maybe a one-man show, a la Bruce McCullough's Tales of Bravery and Stupidity.
Well, a memoir, I'm hampered by having both a terrible memory and having spent a huge chunk of my life blackout drunk. I've had so many blackout drunks that my autobiography is going to be called Hearsay. I probably won't do a memory unless I actually do just get everyone else to tell me stories about my life that I don't remember. I'd like to direct more. I haven't, that would be nice. I mean, I really directed some of the film pieces on the Old Kids in the Hall show and directed on news radio and directed a Christmas special for CBC years ago. Mm. So I'd like to do more of that.
Yeah. And you wouldn't want to combine, would you want to combine writing, directing and acting, or would that just be too overwhelming? Yeah.
No. That's like the most fun. But also just directing stuff that isn't me would be fun too.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Foley, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, and thanks to you and your fellow kids for giving us so many laughs for so many years, and we'll get a bunch more laughs when we see the new series.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Dave Foley is a member of the Kids in the Hall. We also heard from his fellow kid, Scott Thompson, a bit earlier. The troupe's new Prime Video series is available for streaming now. So what are you waiting for? Find out more about Scott, Dave, and the rest of the kids at wpr.org/beta. Sounds like you're still waiting.
This can be frank. I see no curls. I see no demon. I see nothing. I see a businessman.
Author Coda Clute tells us the remarkable story of how being a Frank Zappa fan led him to an unexpected friendship with the famous musician. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.